Father, I'm so thankful for your many blessings this morning, for you being the wonderful Father that you are, for always being there and blessing us and more than we deserve. Father, I pray now that as we begin to study your word, that your presence would be here, Lord, that you would touch every heart in this room. We pray it all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We're going to begin in Psalms 127. And I was going to try and do things a little different this morning, but I don't know. I was just going to have a few verses here, and then I was just going to talk to y'all a while, but I kept going, and more verses kept coming, and I kept going, and more verses kept coming, so we'll just see what the Lord has for us today. I know not all of our dads are here today. Some of them are at work, some of them's out of town, and some of them's probably at home still in bed, but I'm glad that you all are here today on this Father's Day. I'm thankful for godly fathers. I'm thankful for the faithfulness of many of the fathers that we do have here, that you're here and you don't miss. Psalms 127, it says, "Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labor, for he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is a man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate." I read that whole thing because there's two main points that I want to focus on this morning. Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. You know, there's so many people in America today, and they work hard, and they have these big, beautiful homes. And we were driving through, where was we at? We was driving through the backside of Fort Smith yesterday, from like Grand Avenue to Rogers Avenue, that back way up through there. And it's been a while since I've been through there. And some of the homes, I don't know where these people get their money. I mean, multi-million dollar homes, big, huge, beautiful homes. And I think of, wow, how beautiful those are. But I told Crystal as we're driving through there, I said, but why would somebody want something that big? Why would you want a house that, I mean, this house, I'm not lying, the one, it was a new house, and it was like from this end of the church to that end of the gym long. It was huge. I was like, why would anybody want a house that big? Some of you women might be going, well, I'd take one. I don't know, but the whole thing is that people work and they labor to build these beautiful homes that have just the perfect decorations, just the perfect landscaping, just everything just right. But they're empty. Because the Lord hasn't built the house. See, we could work hard, we can labor, we can do all these things, but unless God is at the center of our home, it's unfruitful labor of what we're doing. We might have a lot of things, we might have a lot of nice stuff. We might be the envy of the neighborhood with all of our toys and our riches, but we're laboring in vain unless God is the cornerstone of our life. And then you jump down here and it says in verse 3, "Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." How many times do we stop and do we look at our children and thank God for them? I mean, really, our kids are a blessing. Now, I'm getting older now, and my kids are practically grown. They think they are anyway. I don't have to change diapers anymore. I don't have to break up fights most of the time anymore. I don't have to do all those things that as a parent when your kids are little and it seemed like every time we'd go to dinner and about the time they'd bring the food out, someone had to go to the bathroom. So you got to get up and you got to take them to the bathroom and you come back and by then your food's getting cold and you're just waiting for the day when they can take themselves to the bathroom or you're waiting for the day that they can fix their own meal or you're waiting for the day when they, you know, and it seems like sometimes we forget to just stop and thank God for the children. We're always waiting for, I remember with my kids, it's like, you know, well, when they got out of diapers, how much more money will we have? And when they get out of this stage, how much more money will we have? And then you don't realize when they start driving and car insurance, you didn't save any money, and then you wish you could go back to diapers because that's a lot cheaper than car insurance. But we're always wishing, we're wishing. I can't wait till they can do this. I can't wait till they can do that. You know, homework. Well, they left Dad behind about third grade, you know, so I was able to quit helping after about third grade, but we're always wishing instead of just stopping and thanking God. God, children are a blessing. Esther 4:14, it says, "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this?" The reason why I read that verse is because the verse "for such a time as this" kept coming to my mind. For such a time as this, and moms, dads, and anybody else in here, God has placed you here this morning for such a time as this. God has placed you in the world today for such a time as this. And so many of us, we take for granted that God has a purpose. God has a plan for today for your life, for such a time as this, for your children. Have you ever thought, I've thought before how hard it is raising children today with computers, with media, with all the sin lurking out there for your kids to get in. If you're not careful, you have to guard what they watch on TV. You have to guard what they look at on their phone, what the popping up on the computer screen. There's always something. And sometimes I think, man, God, if we just lived 30 years ago even, how much better would it have been? How much easier would it have been? Sin's always been there. But God has placed us here for this moment, for such a time as this. God has placed those children in your life for such a time as this. It doesn't matter if you're as old of a child as I am, or older, or you got little ones. That God has a purpose. God has a plan for you for such a time as this. And all week, all I've kept thinking about is for such a time as this in moments. See, when I look back over my life, I don't remember every day. Does anybody in here remember every day of their life? You got a photographic memory that you remember every day. But what I remember is I remember moments. I remember moments throughout my life of good, of bad, of sadness, of joy. I don't know why some of the things that I remember. There is a few just everyday normal things that I remember, but most of the moments that I remember were really something going on. I remember one time, I must have been 4 years old because I wasn't in school yet. I don't know why I remember this, but I remember walking down to Don's Drug with my dad. And we sat down on the front railroad ties there, and I had a grape crush bottle Dad had just bought me, and I set it down next to me, and my dad had his Pepsi, and we were eating something, I don't really remember, and I knocked over my grape crush, and I just had opened it, and my dad kind of laughed. I was so upset because we didn't have pop. We didn't have that stuff. You know, it was kind of a special treat. And I don't know why, but I remember my dad laughed. But then he went back in and bought me another one. It's not even a big deal. It's a bottle of pop. But that stands out in my memory as a little boy. I could sit up here all day and share memories, and you guys would just get bored to tears and probably start filing out one by one. But you have memories. You have things that stand out in your life, maybe about your dad, maybe about your mom, maybe just these wonderful moments that, in your life. Maybe there's things that has happened in your life. I just want to talk to y'all for a few minutes about the moments. Maybe there's been a moment of discipline in your life that stands out. Maybe you stole something. Maybe you got caught cheating. Maybe you broke into a neighbor's house and busted out all the windows and smeared peanut butter on the wall and got beat. That was my big brother's doing. I was just following, but I got, I promised Dad, that was Jeff. Moments you remember of discipline. Maybe there's moments that you remember of just kindness, like the grape soda crush that I was talking about. Maybe there's moments of great joy that something happened in your life and the family all laughed together and celebrated together. Maybe there was a moment of mercy when you should have got it and you didn't. I remember one time coming home with a note from school and I'd been in trouble at school, and I remember my hand shaking as I'm giving it to my dad because I knew was coming. But I didn't get a spanking that day. I just got a talking to. Stands out in my head. Moments of generosity. When you knew your parents maybe couldn't afford to do it, but they did it anyway. We all have moments from our childhood. We all have moments that things stand out. Maybe your moments are not happy moments. Maybe they're moments of pain. Maybe they're moments that Dad wasn't there. All of us have different backgrounds. All of us have different lives that we've lived. But you know, this whole year, what have we talked about? Forget the past. God wants to do something new. God wants to do something new today. And so maybe this morning there's a moment in your life that you remember that's full of anger, that's full of bitterness, that's full of resentment towards your dad. Maybe today is the day that you need to forgive him. Maybe you remember those moments where you were full of anger and have done something to your children. Maybe today is the day that you need to begin to do something new and you need to pick up the phone or maybe you need to go and see him and tell him I'm sorry. You know, there was a man one time, and when I worked at OEI as a high schooler, and he was a preacher, and he worked there, and he kept preaching to me, and I kept arguing with him, and I was so mean to him. And I saw him like 5 or 10 years after I got saved, and I walked up to him, and I shook his hand, and I apologized, and I said, I'm so sorry for the way that I treated you. He didn't even remember it. He said, I don't really remember all that. I remember us talking, but I don't remember that. But I appreciate you apologizing anyway. It was a burden for me because I remembered how mean I was and how stupid I was. He was just trying to show me the love of God. Maybe there's a moment that you remember and your kids might not even remember, but you as dads, we as children today, need to begin to make things right. For such a time as this, God has placed you here this morning. I was looking up, you guys know I've kind of not done it lately, but I love statistics. So I looked up statistics about fathers, okay? 63% of youth suicides come from fatherless homes. 63%. 90% of all homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 90%. 85% of all children who show behavior disorder come from fatherless homes. 80% of rapists with anger problems comes from fatherless homes. Y'all hear how high these percentages are? 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. Children with fathers who are involved are 40% less likely to repeat a grade in school. Children with fathers who are involved are 70% less likely to drop out of school. Children with fathers who are involved are more likely to get A's in school. Children with fathers who are involved are more likely to enjoy school and engage in extracurricular activities. 75% of all adolescent patients in chemical abuse centers and drug programs come from fatherless homes. How important are dads today? These go on and on. 85% of all youth in prison come from fatherless homes. 85% of the kids in jail come from fatherless homes. You think you're not important to your kids? You think your kids don't care about you? They do, and they need you for such a time as this. They need you today. It don't matter if your kids are grown. Your kids still need you. These go on and on about teen pregnancy, about dropping out, about early marriage, about children out of wedlock, all these things. And they all point to dads need to be there. You know, it seems like as a teenager, you push your parents away. But dads, that's the very time that you need to grab hold. And you need to show them love. You need to show them kindness. You need to show them guidance and instructions. Ephesians 5, verse 15 says, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise men, making the most of your time because the days are evil. Be careful how we're living our lives, making the most of the opportunity that we have. Before you know it, your kids are grown up. Before you know it, you don't see them. Before you know it, they're gone. So while your kids are little, while you have time, make the most of every opportunity. And for the rest of you, if you're going, Pete, you're just talking to the dads, I'm tuning you out. No, that goes for all of us, making the most of every opportunity. At work, at home, at Walmart, wherever we are, make the most of every opportunity. Be careful how you walk. Verse 17 says, so then do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will, what the will of the Lord is. Do we understand that God has a plan? God has a purpose for our lives for such a time as this, for today? Whether you're a mom or dad or not, God has a plan. God has a purpose for you. For such a time as this, for these moments that just continue. James 4:14, yet you do not even know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. So therefore, be careful how you walk. Life is going by so quickly. Everybody always told me the older you get, the faster it goes. Man, were they right. It's crazy. It's like, it's already Sunday again. It was just Sunday. And then it's Monday again. It was just Monday. Back at work. Back, you know. I think I told the youth this Wednesday night before last. And I don't remember. I get Wednesdays and Sunday nights all mixed up sometimes. But living life on purpose. Living life with a purpose and knowing that God has a plan for you, knowing the will of the Father, making the most of each and every day. Joshua 24:15 says, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the God your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Is that a moment that your kids see coming real in your life each and every day? More than a moment, is that a commitment of your life that your kids have ingrained in them? That dad is going to serve the Lord, that mom is going to serve the Lord no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the situations. My parents, I know, love the Lord God with all their heart, soul, mind, strength. Is that real in your household today? Is that real in your home? If it's not, we need to change things. We need to get it right today from this moment on. Deuteronomy 6:6 says, and it seems like every Mother's Father's Day, baby commitment, all those things, I go to these verses, but these verses are so important. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your houses and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as a frontal on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. The laws, the word of God, you shall teach them diligently. I love that because it's when you sit down, when you rise up. What's he saying there? It's your life. And it's your life that's teaching your children. It's not the words. It's not coming here and sitting on Sunday morning and Sunday night and then going home and living how you want. But it's your life that your kids are going to read. It's your life that your kids are going to see. There was a 90s rock group called Creed. They had a whole bunch of hits and stuff. But I remember seeing their lead singer in an interview. And for punishment, his dad would lock him in his room and make him write Bible verses like hundreds of times. And he'd have to write so many Bible verses before he was able to come out of his room. He rebelled. Turned away from God. That always spoke to me because I thought, God should not be punishment. Reading the Word of God should not be punishment. We should look at it as this is alive. This is living. This can change a life. This is good. It's not bad. It's not something that you have to do because you're in trouble. It should be something that you do because you want to draw closer to Jesus Christ. And so many of us, we've been messed up by religion. We've been messed up by church. But her kids are messed up. The way to get things back in order is to start reading this word and applying it to your life and living it out daily. Then your kids will see it. Then your kids will believe it. Not just mom and dad pray at church on Sunday, but mom and dad pray at home. Not just mom and dad read their Bible at church, but mom and dad read their Bible at home. Not just we come to the altar and have a special prayer time and that's when you pray for the sick, but no, when they're sick in bed, when they're hurting, you lay hands on them and you pray for them. You live it out. I've failed sometimes. I'm not going to stand up here and act like I'm the perfect dad. I don't always have it together. But it's amazing to me the times that my kids have texted, "Dad, pray for me because of this." Or we're at home and someone will be hurt and someone will be sick. And it's like, "Pray for me." And we're there praying for each other. Have we missed it sometimes? Yeah. Do I need to get things squared away in my home right now? Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I need to. I've been slipping. Y'all, we get one life.
And with our kids, there's only so many moments that they're going to remember as they get older. There's only so many moments you remember as you've grown up. Are your kids going to see a mom and dad that love Jesus? Are your kids going to see a mom and dad that they diligently seek the Lord? It's not just a church thing. It's not a religion, but it's a life. For such a time as this, God has blessed you with the children that are in your life. For such a time as this, God has given you opportunity to train them, to teach them. They're a blessing. For such a time as this, God is asking you to take a stand, to live for Him. Maybe you've blown it. Maybe you've messed up. Maybe your kids are grown. Maybe your kids hate you. Maybe, there's all these things. But we can begin right now today asking God to forgive us and change. We can begin right now today to restore what the devil has destroyed. We can begin right now to make things different, to make an effort. We can't depend on others. Maybe you're a child that has problems with your parents. Who's a Christian? Who's a man or woman of God? Maybe you're a parent that has a problem with a child. Are we going to let pride keep us from the restoration that God wants to do? Are we going to let those moments of anger, those moments in that heated exchange that hurt us so bad stop the work that God wants to do? See, you can begin to make a difference right now. It's never too late. I got one more set of verses here and we're going to quit. Exodus 20, verse 4. It says, "You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them. For I am the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands to those who love me and keep my commands." Can you imagine if the Lord allows for this earth to go on for another 100 years? That you could be impacting those generations for another 1,000 years. That you could be impacting those lives. I mean, let's face it. 100 years from now, most of us will have been forgotten. But your prayers and the life that you live, the righteous life, can affect your great, 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 great grandchildren. But it begins today, and it begins in this moment. Even if you've blown it, even if you've messed up, even if you've done everything all wrong, you can begin today saying, "God, I want to change. God, I want to live for you. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And God, I don't know how, but I want to begin right now serving you. I want to begin living it out in my day-to-day life." I don't know. I know some of y'all don't go to the movies. Some of y'all don't watch movies, but there's a movie, and it just came out on rental this week, I think. It came out this week. I saw the commercials, but we went to the movie theater and seen it, and it was the song "I Can Only Imagine." You guys probably all know the song "I Can Only Imagine," and I never knew what that song was about. But the dad was an abusive dad. And his son hated his dad. Left his dad. And the writer of that song is the guy that sings that song, I can only imagine. And it's about his dad getting saved and getting his life right with God before he died. And I can only imagine what it's going to be like when I get to heaven and my dad's going to be there, this guy that beat me, this guy that was abusive, this guy that I couldn't stand, but that God got a hold of him and God changed his life. And then he passed away and now he's in heaven today. God can take what's broken in your life and he can fix it and he can restore it. I'm not sure how I want to end this, but I think I want to end with just a, Kyle, will you come up and just play a little bit? And I'm not going to ask y'all to stand or anything yet, but everyone in here might have a different need this morning. Maybe you're feeling sadness of a dad that's gone on that you love very much. Maybe you're feeling joy for all God's blessed you with. Maybe right now God brought to mind a relationship you need to restore, or maybe right now you just want to give God thanks for all the blessings that he's given you. I don't know how you're feeling this morning, but I just ask that you take a few minutes here and just bow your heads and begin to pray. However the Holy Spirit would lead you, and begin to pray. And if you're the man or woman of God this morning, and maybe you haven't sold out completely, maybe you've kind of been lax, maybe this is the time that you need to just ask God to forgive you, that you can say from this moment on, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. For such a time as this, God, you placed me here. You placed me at my work. You placed me in my home. You placed me among my friends. You placed me here at Coop Prairie Church for this sermon, and God, from this moment on, I want to serve you wholeheartedly. However the Lord leads, just begin to pray. We're just going to spend a few moments here. If you need prayer for anything, come up and let me pray for you. But let's just spend a few moments here in prayer, okay? You know, it's when you hear all these statistics about how important dads are, and you see that the averages nationwide are just going up, going up for homes without dads. And you even look in our little church here, when we're adding up all the Mother's Day gifts to get, and when we're adding up all the Father's Day gifts to get, we got a lot more mothers to come than we do dads. I know some of our dads today are working or not here, but men, we need to be men of God, leading our family to church, leading our families in the home. But I am so thankful for all the dads that are here today, young dads, old dads, few in between. I'm thankful for what I see God doing in your homes and in your families. And you're needed. You're needed more than you know. You're needed. You're needed by your wives. You're needed by your children. And so thank you. Thank you for faithfully being here. And Amanda, I hadn't even looked. Amanda does such a great job with gifts. She texted me a few weeks ago, "You got any ideas?" I said, "No." And I didn't hear back, so I said, I guess Amanda took care of it. So, but we do want to tell all the dads thank you. And so if you're a dad, Stan, can I get a few of the children to come and grab a gift? And just go pass them out to all the dads. And as you're handing them to them, I know it might not be your dad, but tell them thank you anyway. If we take care of all the dads,
I encourage you, if you can, call your dads this afternoon or go see them. If you are a dad and maybe you've blown it, call your kids and say you're sorry. Try to restore that relationship. And if you are just a great dad, enjoy your kids today if you can. Enjoy your family. No evening service tonight. We'll see y'all Wednesday night. I love you, church. Have a blessed afternoon.